I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I am in recovery for patience and sexual integrity. I have victory over depression, unforgiveness, and pain meds, and my name is Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
So I'll just dive in, and as the story unfolds, my prayer is that you will hear God's voice, not my voice. We all have, I've learned so much from hearing other people's stories, and if you can learn from my struggle without having to go through it, that would be awesome. On January 9th, 2003, my mom and grandparents were rushed away from home, and I was told that my dad had been shot. Damon Coates, my dad, was a sergeant at the Clackamas County Sheriff's Department. Shortly after, the sheriff of Clackamas County arrived to pick my three siblings and I up. I remember sitting with my siblings in my parents' living room while the sheriff delivered the news that my dad had been shot. Our mom and grandparents were already rushed to the hospital, so as kids held each other in suspension, not knowing what to do or say. As the sheriff drove my siblings and I to the hospital, I had a thought of hope. Maybe my dad was just shot in the arm or the chest where the ballistic vest would have offered him protection. So I asked the sheriff, where on my dad's body was he shot? And with much difficulty, sheriff told me that my dad had been shot in the face. And those words have, they kicked me in the gut like a mule kick. On that January 9th evening, my dad was dispatched to a domestic disturbance call to the parents of a 15-year-old boy were desperate to get their sons transported for a mental health evaluation. My dad knelt in front of Nick, the 15-year-old boy, and attempted to persuade Nick to stand up from the couch and to be searched so he can be taken to the hospital for a mental health evaluation. Then Nick pulled out a stolen .45 caliber pistol and shot my dad point blank in the face. The surgeons gave my dad a 1% chance of living, even after the initial phases of surgery were complete. There were so many hours and days and months spent just waiting in the hospital. Every time a doctor would enter the waiting room to talk with my mom, I wondered if they were going to give an update on my dad's health or if they were going to give a notification of death. It was definitely an exhausting season for us. I went back with my grandpa and saw my dad after the initial surgeries the night my dad had been shot. And I cannot erase the vivid image of him lying there, looking so lifeless. There were tubes and hoses everywhere. The only movement in his body was the air being forced into his lungs by the ventilator machine. His head was massively swollen, and there was a blood-soaked ball of gauze filling his mouth due to the broken jaw from the bullet concussion. Something inside me, when I saw my dad in that way, something inside me totally broke. My dad made it through the shooting and the intensive brain surgeries, and he's still alive today. My dad was hospitalized for a very long time and then was transferred to a physical therapy hospital for many more months. The main artery of his brain was severed by the bullet, causing him to have a stroke. This made my dad's left side paralyzed. Although my dad is alive today, currently he can't walk, he can't talk, and he can't eat. Ephesians 4:30-32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, all rage and anger, all brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And that's like a daily, for me, that's not a one-time decision. It's a daily commitment. I mean, my dad's alive, but he can't walk, talk, and eat. I really don't have a dad, so I can really easily go back to just being angry and bitter and hateful and unforgiving. So it's like a daily choice to stay in forgiveness. But the following 10 years after my dad got shot, I let the following 10 years completely define and destroy my life. Early on, as my dad was still in the hospital, my mom actually forgave Nick, who shot my dad, forgave him publicly. She was able to do this because of her strong faith and dependence in Jesus. But that eagerness to forgive so quickly made me so angry and so confused. Even though I was a Christian, I was raised in a healthy Christian home, It just made me so angry. It's like, how could you do that? Felt like betrayed almost. I had no forgiveness or love towards Nick, the kid who shot my dad. I spent and wasted 10 years of my life harboring hate and anger towards Nick. I routinely fantasized about murdering the boy who had effectively taken my dad, whom I loved, respected, and looked up to. Every day, my mind was filled with self-talk of anger, rage, and hate. That's a horrible habit to have, by the way. And this hate and anger, it allowed a deep-seated bitterness to take root in my heart. And it starved me of love, joy, patience, compassion, peace, so many things. I let Satan use my dad's shooting to further separate me from God's love and from God's purposes. For years, I repeatedly turned to sex, porn, alcohol, and food as ways to cope with the seemingly endless pain that I was experiencing. I was running from pain, is what I was really doing. For 10 years, I was running from pain. And the sex, the porn, the alcohol, the food, all that was just me running from my pain. And all I could find in running from my pain, all I could find was more pain, which I believe is the truth. If the more we run from pain, I believe the more pain we run into. I could have avoided a lot of pain by not running from the pain. But I hurt myself. I hurt so many people because I chose to stay in my pain. Because honestly, I was really just too afraid to face the pain. I was too afraid to follow Jesus through the pain. But God is a loving God, and he will let you test out your own solutions to life's pain and problems, even though often mine were lacking a lot. There was nothing I could do to truly numb or remove the pain that I was feeling. Sex and alcohol, they worked for a little bit, but they left me with crippling shame and guilt, and I always needed more to cope with the always expanding pain that I felt. The more I ran from God, the more pain I found. On multiple occasions, I had even lost the will to live and came dangerously close to ending my life. I remember sitting on my bed in my bedroom with my dad's .45 caliber duty pistol pressed to my head. With tears streaming down my face, I started to pull the trigger. Everything in me just wanted to escape the pain and the hopelessness that I was drowning in at that time. Looking back, I can see that I let Satan lead me down a path of self-destruction, which during that time, that kept me from God's plans and purposes. But thankfully, we follow a loving Father, and he never gives up on his children, and he always has a plan for each one of us. And because of that, I'm still here, and I have purpose. I haven't earned it, but God has given it to me. And finally, when I fully experience the failure of all my worldly and unhealthy coping mechanisms, God was there. He was always there. But finally, when I was willing to turn a 180 and turn to him, he was there. He was there waiting to love me and waiting to support me. And no matter what you've done, I would just encourage you not to let shame and guilt keep you separated from God. God is there. He is there to forgive you. He is there to love you, no matter who you are and what you've done. There's no sin that's too big for the blood of Jesus. The longer I chose to stay in unforgiveness, the more Satan took control of my life. I believe this is true for everyone. The longer we choose to stay in unforgiveness, the more footholds we give Satan to have in our life. An unforgiving person is an imprisoned person. I was very trapped and very isolated. And a very hateful and angry person is just not enjoyable to spend time with, in case you didn't know. I heaped up hate and anger all around me, which only drove me into a deeper, more depressing isolation. And without God's intervention, that hate and anger, which I chose to stack up around me, would have collapsed in on me and would have completely crushed and destroyed me and every relationship I had. That wall of unforgiveness that towered around me, it kept me from being able to love anyone, to include myself. Being fortified with unforgiveness also made me unable to receive love. Love expressed towards me always crashed up against my wall of unforgiveness, and it caused me to be angry and frustrated. In fact, this repeated response of anger towards love deceived me into redefining what I thought love really was. I ignorantly redefined love in a way that is really just lust. Lust is not loving, and it does not give, but only selfishly takes away. And I believe that this hate, anger, and frustration that I was experiencing was a deep-seated longing to experience love that seemed so unreachable and undeserving at the time. The more I rejected love, especially God's endless and unconditional love, the more depressed, lonely, and angry I became. As you can imagine, this made my marriage unfulfilling and unsuccessful. I was separated from my wife two different times, and divorce seemed like the only option for both of us at that time. I had walked away from my marriage and given my wife every reason not to be married to me, but thankfully, our marriage was restored through time and is continuing to be restored. And God willing, that path of restoration and maturing and growing with my wife and I will never end. My wife and I were actually brought back together in 2012 because of a motorcycle accident that I believe God used to redirect my life. Looking back, I can see that God was trying to call me back to himself time and time and time again. I'm a horrible listener, and I'm really stubborn. I don't know if you can relate, but it took a motorcycle accident, rolling around on the highway at 60 miles an hour, thinking I was going to die, to get my attention and redirect my life. And looking back, I can see God called me back to himself so many times, so less painful. But it took me rolling around on the I-5 205 split to get my attention finally. Only through the amazing grace and love of the Lord was my wife even willing to take me back and let me live back at home and help take care of my injuries. I gave my wife every reason not to love me, and if she would have been relying on human ability alone, she would have not allowed me to come back to be cared for as my injuries demanded. But God wrote a story of forgiveness in my wife's life before my journey towards forgiveness even began. My blessing of a wife, she followed God when I was not. When I was unfaithful, my wife took her pain and struggles to God. My wife came to a realization that she could not fix me after years of trying to fix me. And every time she tried to fix me, I always responded in a more broken way. It was a vicious cycle. My wife, she finally stopped trying to fix me. She gave up all control to God out of desperation. And instead of focusing on the out of control, my wife turned to focus on what she could control. She could control working on herself and her relationship with Jesus. But seeing my wife only focus on her part and seeing her draw near to God, that was the most powerful thing God used to encourage me back onto God's path. So if you have a spouse and you have some issues going on, working on yourself and working on bettering yourself and working on your relationship with Jesus, that in itself, you don't have to say anything. That actions speak louder than words. And for me, that was a game changer that God used to redirect my life. The unforgiveness that ran wild in my life, it had caused so much damage and so much hurt, yet God was going to use my rebellious mess for his purpose. In 2013, almost 1.5 years after the motorcycle accident, I began to experience God's compassion in a transformative way. I only experienced this because I finally got to the end of my rope. I was done with the insanity and the unhealthy cycles I was in. After 10 years, I finally made it to step one. Slow learner. Step one is we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. During this time, I spent time daily with God in the Bible and in prayer, eagerly seeking him, instead of running from my pain like I used to. God guided me towards a path of forgiveness and love that really put life back into my soul and being and was what I so desperately needed. Nick, the kid who shot my dad, was having a court hearing so that he could be moved to another facility. Through a series of events, I attended that hearing with my dad, mom, and some of my siblings. We arranged to meet with Nick after the hearing because God had been taking me down a path of forgiveness that could only be accomplished in person. I was able to look eye to eye with Nick and tell him that I forgive him because of the work that God had been doing in me. And some people are like, that's so amazing that you could forgive him. The 10 years of my hate and anger, that's me. I was only able to forgive him because of God, because Jesus forgave me and because he walked me through that process. He can walk you through a process and end up with a way bigger result than I could ever accomplish on my own. Nick reached out to shake my hand, and we hugged each other, celebrating just how amazing God really is. At that moment, I heard uncontrollable sobbing from the back of the room, and one of the six or so security guards had to leave the room because he was unable to stop weeping. It was definitely a monumental time in my life. We ended the meeting with Nick and my family holding hands, praying, and giving thanks to God. After God worked on me for about 3 more years, God put Nick on my heart even more again and prompted me to reach out to him. Through a series of events and had to get taken off as a victim and some court stuff, Nick and I were able to talk and meet on the phone every month or so. And we were able to share each other's struggles in life and pray with each other. Out of all the people in the world, God entrusted me with the privilege of discipling and encouraging Nick in a Christ-centered way. And God used me to help Nick be a light for Jesus Christ in the darkness that was so prominent in his surrounding atmosphere. Every phone call that Nick and I ever had was ended with Nick saying, "I love you, Jesse," and with me saying, "I love you, Nick." It's the same kid I spent 10 years wanting to murder. So it's amazing how God can transform a heart if we let him. He won't kick your door down. He'll just be there on the other side of the door waiting for you to open it. Throughout this journey and this whole process, like, this took years. It didn't just happen overnight. It's a long process, but it's worth having. Throughout this journey that God had led me down, I've experienced so much healing and so much transformation. It greatly exceeds anything I could ever dream of accomplishing on my own. Unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred, which I let fester for far too many years, it resulted in a debilitating case of depression, an out-of-control anger, an addiction to lust and porn, crushing amounts of shame and guilt, and a general disgust or frustration with the entire human race. Let's just say I didn't have people lining up to be my friend. Since then, my experience in forgiveness, depression has totally lost its grip over me for like 8 years now. And forgiveness has also led me to a newfound compassion towards people and God. Oddly enough, my compassion really started to grow with Nick first, the one place I was harboring the most hate and anger. Before forgiveness, I lived a life that totally opposed Jesus and everything he stands for. My life with forgiveness has led me down a path towards ministry in Celebrate Recovery, which was definitely not my plan and was way outside my comfort zone. But even though I'm a broken sinner, I still have issues. I still mess up. I'm now in a place where God can and is using me for his greater purposes. This is true because I choose to accept God's grace and mercy when I fall short instead of falling back into the old trap of shame, guilt, and condemnation. God placed the right people in my life relentlessly, and he called me towards himself, towards the forgiveness that he so freely gives. And I think it's good to sometimes take an inventory of what is God calling you to, and also how is he calling you to that. There's probably people in your life that God's trying to use to call you closer to him, because we're never close enough to him. And are we pressing into those people, or are we just telling them, "Sorry, not today"? But through the grace of God, I've been freed from so much because of God's powerful and life-altering forgiveness. However, I still have so much more to be freed from. I spent years establishing damaging habits that made it hard for me to have healthy relationships with people and with God. I found Celebrate Recovery because of my need to be continually transformed one degree at a time. I'm involved in Celebrate Recovery to work in the areas of sexual integrity and patience. And recovery, I believe, can only be done in the context of community. Following Jesus, I believe, can only be done in the context of community. One of the most recent victories I've had since joining and working STEP Studies and Celebrate Recovery is a newfound freedom from shame and guilt. Shame and guilt, it kept me captive for most of my life. And my sexual addiction, that just heaped on more shame and more guilt. And this continued to feed lies that told me I was worthless. Doing a STEP study and writing out a testimony in CR, which I'd highly recommend everyone doing at some point. That's like Jack said, that's where the meat is. That's where the growth is. But doing a STEP study and writing out a testimony has totally crumbled the shame and guilt that I was once crushed under. Now I'm so much more free to actually work on my issues and shortcomings instead of being directed and tossed by the lies of shame and guilt. Without shame and guilt, I'm more free to live the life God designed and intended for me. God miraculously transforms lives in Celebrate Recovery through a Christ-centered recovery process. So I want to just take a second inventory. Looking into your heart, can you afford to stay where you're at? Looking into your heart, can you afford to stay where you're at? Whether it's spiritually, just you fill in the blank. Holy Spirit will help you there. Our brokenness is trying to tear us down. It's trying to keep us from everything good. It's trying to keep us from God. Are you doing anything to break your brokenness? Or are you just being broke by your brokenness? And just the mere fact that you're here tells me that you're doing something actively to break your brokenness. It doesn't happen accidentally. We can only break our brokenness, I believe, together with God intentionally. If you are fully dependent upon God, He will likely lead you outside of your ability and outside of your comfort zone, unfortunately. But God does this because He wants to do so much more than you could ever do on your own, so much more than you could ever dream of. It's a good thing. A life of unforgiveness is so painful, so unfulfilling. But forgiveness is the door to freedom. However, forgiveness does not condone the sin or wrongdoing done to you. That's a lie that we often say, or that the world says, is that, well, if I forgive them, that means what they did is, no, because I forgave Nick, that doesn't mean that him shooting my dad in the face is okay. That's not okay, and it never will be. But forgiving a person, instead, forgiveness is just merely separation from the pain. A process of forgiving doesn't condone the wrongdoing done to you, but it will separate you from some of that pain. And forgiveness is not something you muster up on your own strength. Forgiving a person or forgiving yourself, which is often the hardest person to forgive sometimes, is simply extending the forgiveness that you have already received from Jesus Christ. Freely give what Jesus has freely given you. Forgiveness is where healing occurs. Forgiveness is how we can relate to fellow sinners in this broken world. Forgiveness is why Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and me. Back to that verse, Ephesians 4:32. It tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. So my prayer is that we would press into forgiveness, that we'd be able to receive forgiveness in a new and deeper way, and that God would be able to give you new life through the forgiveness He offers. Thank you.